Transportation Committee to come to attention.
The Transportation Committee will come back to order. We're now part of the Policy Division. With that, we've got several bills that we're going to hear, and we've got about 30 minutes before we have to be out of here. Any bills that we don't hear, we will hear this evening. We're going to try and get through the ones that where we've got some out-of-town folks. And, well, we're going to try to get to the ones where there's out-of-town folks that have come to testify. So first up is Senator Sharon, Senate File 2794.
Thank you, Chairman Murphy. We'll present as quickly as we can, given the pressure that's on your agenda. I want to thank you for the opportunity to present the file, 2794, which is a piece of legislation about completing the two unfinished segments of Highway 14 in southern Minnesota. And specifically, this bill does two things. First, it requires two unfinished environmental impact statements along Highway 14, one from North Mankato to New Ulm and another from Owatonna to Dodge Center, to be completed by the end of this year. These two environmental impact statements represent the only two unfinished highway environmental impact statements in the state that began before August 1st of 2006. You may recall that we passed similar legislation last year, but it was vetoed by the governor. And to their credit, the Minnesota Department of Transportation has been working diligently on completing the EIS within the veto bill's time frame. Nonetheless, the coalition, Highway 14 Coalition, still believes it's a proper statutory deadline that will ensure its timely completion, and further delays really cannot be tolerated in this part of the state. Second, once the EIS is completed and the federal approvals are given, the bill requires MnDOT to put these two unfinished projects into the next update of the STIP. The STIP process represents the fairest way to ensure the project's completion while still respecting the overall programming that Minnesota Department of Transportation must do each year. I also want to assure you that it is not the use of an iron fist. We're going through the next STIP means that the projects won't be scheduled for completion immediately. Instead, it will give the Minnesota Department of Transportation 3 to 4 years to plan the project's inclusion. It will also allow time for setting funding priorities accordingly. I believe this acknowledges the difficult task that the Department of Transportation has in funding projects around the area, but also it assures Highway 14 gets fixed soon. I do not prefer this type of approach for funding highway projects, but I believe it has become our only choice. My constituents have been fighting to finish this project for over 40 years. And now, this past summer, we find out that the Minnesota Department of Transportation has no plans to finish the project for another 2 decades. Let me repeat, the Minnesota Department of Transportation's announcement means that we'll be waiting 60 years for the project to be completed, and our constituents along the corridor find this unacceptable. Our area, District 7 ATP, has Highway 14 as its highest priority. Minnesota Department of Transportation does not even account for Highway 14 in its STIP, even in the next 20 years. My constituents don't accept the solution that gives MnDOT the ultimate discretion in determining when Highway 14 will be fixed. They wonder when this road will finally be a priority to the department. They want the legislature to help us by asserting itself as a co-equal branch of the government. And that's what we're trying to do here today. We do not think that this is a typical action that the legislature should take, and that it's in unique circumstances that you're called upon to do this. The story of Highway 14 speaks for itself. The ATP in our district, as Mayor Zellner will talk about, has talked about 14 as its highest priority. The fatality rates on the segments of 14 are higher than the statewide average. The crash rates on Highway 14 are higher than the statewide average, and the heavy truck and agricultural traffic is higher than the statewide average as well. This is a winding and hilly road that has led to more fatal crashes than you really want to hear about. And just for your information, in the past week, there is a 24-year-old man from Morton that died on this highway in the segment between New Ulm and North Mankato when he was broadsided by a semi-tractor trailer. So enough is enough. Again, I understand your reservations with this approach, but I urge your support and hope that you will assist us in finally finishing this project. With me to answer your questions and speak specifically to your questions are Mayor Zellner and Commissioner Tom Shea's brother is married to one of my best college friends whose last name was Murphy, and that's how I got that mixed up. So I'm so sorry.
You'll be proud,
right? So Commissioner Tom Shea.
But he almost got the bill passed. Mayor or Commissioner, who wants to go first?
I will. Thank you, Chairman Murphy. Gary Zellner, Mayor of the City of North Mankato and President of the Highway 14 Partnership for the third and last year. I've been up here for the last 3 years talking about this issue, and I thought last year we finally had some resolution to it. But I was able to drive up here today from North Mankato on a pretty good highway, 169, four-lane, split highway, in some of the most horrendous spring weather you want to see. Heavy rain, thick fog, little bit of sleet, a lot of water on the road. But if I had been on 14 to get over here, I wouldn't have come this morning. Most people would not drive on that road, but they're forced to because of the conditions that require it. The last 3 years I've been up here, every year it's been after a death on that road. The section between New Ulm and North Mankato consistently has serious accidents, not because that we have more of them, but because when they happen, they're happening between cars and semi-trailers. They are, 4 years ago, I lost some very good friends that I had worked with my entire career. 2 years ago, I lost a brother-in-law, all in a stretch of road that's no more than 4 miles from North Mankato. I understand what MnDOT is up against. We understand as the Highway 14 Partnership. Also, I also am a member of the ATP-7, been there, a member for 6 years now. I understand the process. That is a priority for that area. Our people in this area will not accept waiting 20 years to get this highway completed. Just talking to someone in the hallway out here, asked where we were from, what we were here to talk about. She happens to live in southern Minnesota. Her comment to me was, oh, I drive 14 all the time, but not with my kids in the car. That's how serious this is. All we're really asking is to get us back onto the STIP so that we can start planning this process within the next 4 years. We do not want to take anything off the STIP that's there now. We just want to get this onto the process. And it hasn't that it hasn't been there before. When I started, the project outside of North Mankato was supposed to have been completed in 2006, then it was 2008, then it was 2012, now it's 2015, now it's 2030. We can't wait that long. Economic development is a very important part of this project. We are growing. We're growing immensely. The traffic on this road is getting bigger, more every day. And with that, I only had a few minutes. I didn't want to take all of Tom's time. I'll pass it over to Commissioner Shea.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Committee. Tom Shea, Steele County Commissioner. And I want to thank Senator Sharon, not for the introduction, but for her leadership on this. She was one of the original motivators of the Highway 14 project that brought this unique coalition together of governmental units, private industry, and local businesses to advocate for this. And I just want to emphasize to the committee that this is a project that's had this strong community support up and down the corridor. And when I was asked to testify, I went and pulled out an old campaign brochure. And I don't know if you can see this, but this goes back to 1974 in my first run for elective office. And a sentence out of this says that the future construction of Highway 14 is scheduled for 1991 to year 2000. And this young candidate said this is completely unacceptable. Well, it was completely unacceptable then, and it's and having this deferred at this point is also unacceptable. And we still have that strong support. The only other point I'd like to make is it's not only critical to the state and to the driving public for this, but it's also extremely important for local governments. Because our local governments, while they're supporting it not only at the table here, but also with our local tax dollars and local investments, we will have to connect to this road system. We need to identify where we'll tie into the system, and then we have to plan for the local infrastructure that will connect to the system. So it's also critically important to local governments that we have those kinds of timelines in place so that we can do that adequate planning, secure the funding, and tie it in, not only for that, but also to provide for adequate haul roads during construction. So there's a variety of reasons that we should that we need to get this on, not the least of which is for local units to plan for it. So with that, I will stand for any questions you might have, and thank you again.
Commissioner, that picture looks pretty much just the same.
Well, that
must have good water over there.
Well, Owatonna, you know, it's God's country, so we.
So, thank you,
Senator Sharon. You have several amendments for the bill, or do you have some amendments for this bill?
I do not have any amendments for the bill. There may be some amendments for the bill,
Mr. Chair.
All right. Not a problem. Discussion
Mr.
from the
Chair,
committee. Oh, Senator Perry.
I'd like to offer an A2 amendment.
Senator Perry has the A2 amendment. If you'd give us just a second, we'll get it passed out. Senator Perry, why don't you go ahead and start explaining the A2 amendment here.
Before I start, I'd like to make an oral amendment to A2 to a deletion of the date on line 1.3, commitment no later than December 31st of 2012.
Is deleting the deadline for federal funding commitment.
Okay, Senator Perry, you're eliminating the deadline for the federal funding, and that is also on 1.8 and 1.9, too.
Correct.
So on 1.3, 1.4, 1.8, 1.9, we'll take that reference no later than December 31st, 2012, out. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Perry.
I believe this amendment will help alleviate any pressure on MnDOT and really help move this bill forward and put the pressure of where I believe it should be at the federal government.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Perry, I'm just curious, is this federal money that you're anticipating or hoping for? Would it be under regular programmatic funding or potentially earmark requests?
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, Senator Sieben, that this is a combination of both.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would just like to say that I appreciate that you're willing to move forward with this. I would be I'd like to hear what MnDOT would think about this proposal, just because I believe MnDOT has been under the direction of the governor has not been as aggressive in pursuing all available federal funding to the detriment of local projects. You know, for instance, the Hastings Bridge is moving forward now only because of the work the state legislature did, not because our congressional delegation or our governor was willing to help provide leadership and ask for additional funding that could come to Minnesota to help projects like this. So I support your bill, but I just I'm curious, too, if you have any commitment from the governor then to support federal earmark money that could come for this project.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Perry.
Senator Sieben, I definitely would do an arm wrestle with him, but I think this also helps us.
You'd win.
With our congressional. You think so? with our congressional leadership as well, to really give them some power and some emphasis to help this through.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would just say that I would hope that we would continue to send those messages to our federal delegation. I believe Congressman Walz is your representative.
Correct.
And aggressively goes after any available funding. Mm-hmm. In my area, Congressman Klein has stated repeatedly that he's unwilling to ask for federal money that could match state dollars or that could help alleviate some of the cost share, for instance, on the city of Hastings to help relocate utilities or things like that, because he doesn't want to pursue federal earmarks. So, but there obviously is a role for them in many important projects like this one you're highlighting here.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Sharon. Senator Perry, you impetuous freshman, you. Oh, wait, can I say that in committee? While I think we have to send a different message, it's still, this bill is somewhat of a local earmark. We're trying to tone it down. And Senator Sieben, you make a good point. I believe there is a definite and distinct difference between an earmark and pork. And I think some of our elected officials don't understand that difference. To the extent that Minnesota taxpayers put money that goes to the federal level, we need to get it back for projects, our highway projects or infrastructure projects. And I think, you know, in looking at this transportation issues over the last 8 years I've been on this committee, I think when citizens put together coalitions and come up with their big projects that they need to move forward in a region, it's tragic that sometimes those projects don't make it to the level at MnDOT of what that region and the local citizens feel is important. So we need to change the system, and I'm not sure this bill helps us get anywhere close to that. So to that extent, Senator Perry, I'm just playing with you a little bit because it's kind of fun. But we don't move specific projects forward, and I think we've tried to tone it down that way, but I'm not sure that it still says that we're not advocating for a specific project here with this bill.
Thank you. We've got Senator Langseth, Senator Dibble, Senator Ortman, Senator Olsen.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was elected in 1974. I thought most of the people elected that year were dead by now. But I see there's one that's still alive.
Mr. Chair and Senator, I wasn't elected that year, so that
you ran.
It wasn't until 1980. So.
I was elected.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. I think Senator Jungbauer probably captured the comments I was going to make, and I had these conversations earlier with the advocates, and just to defend myself, I made the same comments when Senator Kielash brought forward something similar for a project that would directly serve my constituent in his district, but very, very close to my district, and would absolutely be of great utility and service to my constituents. So I think Senator Jungbauer and I share a view here. I mean, I appreciate some elements of this bill. We passed this EIS piece last year. Sounds like MnDOT responded, and they're moving forward on that. You know, I get the idea of nudging members of Congress to maybe look at this as a HPP, but we have to date as a body studiously and I think wisely avoided mucking around with the STIP. I think we open up that door and, boy, we're going to spend a lot of time in this committee having a lot of push and pull over what should and shouldn't be on lists all over the state. So. We could spend a lot more time in this committee and really get to know each other really, really well if we start moving down this path.
Well, pretty soon, Senator Dibble, we're going to do like Senator Langseth does. We're just going to take the Transportation Committee out and drive across every road in the state, and then we'll have a better idea. But
I'm sympathetic, Mr. Chair, very sympathetic, and I was supportive of Senator Kielash and what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. But we start writing the STIP for the agency, and a lot of people with a lot of pressure on that.
Senator Sharon, just so you know, the other night we had a night meeting, and Senator Kielash had a bill that we were trying to help him with to make a statement to the congressional delegation, and I was trying to help him with it, and the committee revolted. So I think you're probably hearing a little bit of that right now, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Sharon, Senator Perry. I agree with you that something needs to be done because what we've got now is not working. Our residents need roads, and MnDOT needs to provide those roads. And I think that if we need to weigh in and change the STIP, then we need to change the STIP. That's our job as representatives of our districts, is to make sure that the state provides for the needs clearly articulated by our communities. We just funded 212, 10 miles. It cost hundreds of millions of dollars. It took from 1930, when that road was first designed, until 2006 to finally get the first 10 miles of freeway in Carver County to serve that many residents. And now we're told that Highway 5 is 30 years out. Any further extension of Highway 212 is 30 to 40 years out. People are dying on those roads in my district as they are in yours, and I'm very supportive. I think Highway 14 is the highest priority for the state of Minnesota, even above Highway 5 and 212. I'd like to think that they're numbers 2 and 3. But I do think that we need to fund Highway 14. This proposal has been here as long as I've been here, and I think if this committee isn't willing to provide that level of oversight for MnDOT, that I wonder why we're trying to micromanage how the commissioner runs his front office if we can't get the roads built that we need. That is the primary job of the commissioner, is to build the roads and provide the transportation, whether it be transit or any other form. But it is the primary job of MnDOT to provide the roads that we need. And in this case, their priorities are not the same as the people of the state of Minnesota. Senator Sharon and Senator Perry are here to say these are the needs and we need to provide them. And so I support what you're doing, Senator Sharon. It takes a huge community to stand up and say it's time to shift the way we do business. It used to be the way that they did business in the legislature. Before I came here, they were negotiated. Who got their road this biennium depended upon the negotiations. And maybe we need some balance between what's happening now and what we were doing previously. But I think it's time to have that conversation, Senator Sharon, and I support your bill.
Senator Ortman, I've been here a little bit longer than you have. And to my recollection, and I've talked to a lot of different past commissioners, the legislature has never done this, never. Now, there might have been some negotiation upon the STIP, but that's up to the locals and MnDOT to put the STIP together. Of course, MnDOT has the last basic say because they're the ones that we turn to as road building authorities, actual engineers, designers, to get that done. It's our job to provide them the cash. We haven't provided them enough cash. That's what the problem is. We've got $3 billion of backlogged road construction projects every year. I mean, we could spend $3 billion for over a 20-year period, and we would finally meet our 20-year goals. The problem is we're only giving them, what, Mr. Peterson, $1.5 billion? We're only giving them 50% of the money that they actually need. That's us. That's not MnDOT. So before you point the finger at MnDOT, you know, every time you point the finger, there's four pointing back at you. We haven't done our jobs either. I mean, even with the bill that we passed over the objections of the governor, we still haven't done our jobs. Now we've got Senator Olsen and Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I just want to remind everybody how many times we've had Congressman Oberstar before this committee, and one of his biggest, I think, frustrations has been being in a position to bring funds to Minnesota and not being in the STIP or something like that. So in my area in particular, similar situations where projects were, Highway 8 wasn't on MnDOT's work list for 20 years, and people were dying there very similar to 14. And he was able to get about $30 million probably over the last 10, 12 years to do safety improvements there. But because it wasn't in the STIP, you know, it was always a problem with MnDOT because he was getting the money, but then it was bumping somebody else because somebody else was in line. But I'm just wondering, what could we do to help them move this project along? Would it be a letter from the committee we all signed to our congressional people? And I think we just did one like that for Commissioner Sorrell today up on the floor. But, you know, I'm very sympathetic. I understand the problem like we all do. But what could we do to help her that would be acceptable to this committee, I guess, is a question I would ask.
Senator Olsen, you know, each one of us has probably written letters to our congressional delegation saying, hey, you know, we need money for this, that, and the other. I think the whole committee needs to write a letter about Highway 14 because this has been going on for too long. And I think it should be a strongly worded letter. I think it should be addressed to the President of the United States and CC our congressional delegation because obviously Representative Obistar, last time I checked, Congressman Obistar wanted to pass a highway bill this year, and the president is the one that's holding it up. Now, the last time I checked, 50% of all the new jobs that were produced under the American Recovery and whatever act, the ARRA Act, 50% of those new jobs were in transportation, and guess what? We only had 6% of the money. 6% of the money created 50% of all the newly created jobs. I think this committee needs to write the president a letter and CC our congressional delegation.
Mr. Chair, I'd be proud to sign that, but I don't think you should write it.
All right, Senator Olsen, I'll let you write it.
No, I was thinking.
Yeah, we've got Senator Bonhoff, Senator Kielash, Senator Dole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would hate to move towards a structure where we on the committee lobbied MnDOT and, you know, which roads got funded were the ones that we lobbied the loudest for. I would like to say, in case my constituents are listening, I do want Highway 494 expanded. So, you know, I mean, and that's what it comes down to. We each do have the projects that the people who sent us here say are the most important. I will say, though, that we were having fatalities on 494, and I did bring it to the legislature, and MnDOT responded by putting those median barriers up. And so while I don't think that we ought to use this to truly decide when and which projects are funded, I think that it does make a difference when we have these hearings because I think we express our commitment, and MnDOT sitting in the room, representatives from MnDOT, and they do hear and they do pay attention. And so towards that end, I was wondering, Mr. Chair, if it would be appropriate to ask Scott or whoever else is intimately involved with this particular project in the planning process where it does stand and perhaps if there is some disagreement as to its statewide importance.
Mr. Peterson, do you have anything to add to the conversation? And if you'd want to join us at the table, that would be great. And members, we have the former Representative Tingelstad is with us today. Mr. Peterson, I think you heard Senator Bonhoff's question. Basically, where are we at with Highway 14?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Scott Peterson from MnDOT. Senator Bonhoff, there are two separate projects in two different MnDOT districts. One's in District 6, the Rochester District. The other is in District 7, which is headquartered in Mankato. Neither project is in the STIP. The reference to 2030 or being two decades out is a reference to the project that runs from North Mankato to New Ulm. And that the estimated project cost for construction of that project is between $250 and $300 million. The District 7, through the formula that allocates construction funds to all of our MnDOT districts, gets about $42 to $45 million a year to spend on trunk highway projects construction. And so you can see that there's a substantial imbalance between the cost of this project and the financial capacity of the district to undertake that improvement. As a result, and this is not uncommon across all MnDOT districts, but as a result, then they really can't afford to stick that project into the plan where they would really like to build it, because to do that would force out all the other projects that they hope to also do. And the ATP process, which prioritizes these projects, there are a lot of interests involved and a lot of needs out there, as everyone who sits on this committee knows. And so what we're doing, and which is, again, not uncommon for MnDOT, is we are actively pursuing the steps such as completion of the EIS, which are necessary before we can start construction, so that the project is ready for construction should the opportunity or the funds really become available to do that. And as it was referenced earlier, there was some legislation passed last year which the governor vetoed, which required a scheduled completion for those EIS projects. And we are moving on that schedule, and we fully expect that the EIS on the District 6 project will be done in July, and on the New Ulm to North Mankato project will be done by the end of December. So those projects will be ready for investment should the opportunity come up.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Mr. Peterson, thank you very much, because that actually was what I was wondering, is that, you know, with these federal projects, it seems as though you've at least got to have that finished so that you are ready to take advantage of it. So I appreciate hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Members, Mr. President? we've got less than 5 minutes to go, and we need to get Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill heard too. We've got a couple veterans here that have appointments and can't come back. So
thank you, Senator Murphy. J.D. Burton would like to speak, and then you can take we have one more person who would like to speak, if that'd be okay.
Mr. Burton.
Thank you, Senator. For the record, J.D. Burton with the law firm of Flaherty & Hood. I represent the U.S. Highway 14 Partnership. I just want to respond to Scott's points quickly. Yes, the New Ulm to North Mankato segment, if fully constructed, would be around $200, $300 million. The Owatonna one is about $160. The amendment that Senator Perry added would significantly reduce that cost. It's the reason why we added that amendment. It would drop it down to the 20% of that. So it would not be bumping $200 to $300 million out of the STIP. So that's the first point. Second, it could be potentially taking projects out of the STIP, but the way the STIP works, this would go in the 2012 update. MnDOT would likely be looking at working on this project in 2015. That would not knock out projects that are currently in the STIP. It would give MnDOT ample opportunity to prepare for this project in 2015. So it's not a rush. It's not the iron fist that Senator Sharon mentioned. It's a practical, flexible approach that puts the onus on the federal government and keeps this project moving forward. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr.
And
Chair.
Members, as a member of the committee for the last 18 years, there was a time when Senator Langseth was the finance chair of this committee, and he would have to go over to the House, and we would have to confer bills. And every year, the House came in with a list of about 50 projects, highway projects, like Highway 14 or whatever, 494, 610, whatever. And the first thing Senator Langseth would do is he would move, okay, we're taking out all these individual projects. Every one of the House members voted yes every time. The only reason that it was in their bill to begin with was much like a bonding bill. It was the only way they could get that transportation bill to the floor was to put in individual projects. Senator Langseth, in his wisdom, threw them out. Senator Ortman, I'm going to give you the last word, Senator Ortman. Then we need to vote on that A2 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to ask Mr. Peterson if, when you factored in your priorities, whether you factored in the economic development aspects of this, because I'm not aware, and I've asked Commissioner Sorrell if he does that, when and if MnDOT does that, because this would have a huge economic development impact in these communities, as would some of the other road projects, and that, in my mind, in these economic times, should bring a project to the top as well, and I'm wondering if that was considered here.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, the decisions about the prioritization of projects for spending of these construction dollars are made by the Area Transportation Partnerships, and among the things that they consider are the safety, the traffic volume, the projected traffic volume, the road condition, the bridge conditions, things of that nature. And I would imagine there are other considerations as well. I know that some ATPs, for example, sub-allocate to local governments. So I can't speak specifically as to whether they considered economic development in the context of this project. The fact that it's a stated high priority of the district to get this project built leads me to suspect that there are lots of reasons why they think it's an important project. And then finally, I would just say that currently MnDOT has four investment priorities, one of which is economic development. So the commissioner has given that direction to the districts that economic development is supposed to be considered along with safety and mobility as a priority for highway investment.
On the Perry A2 motion, we did adopt the oral amendment. Now we need to vote on the overall amendment. On the A2 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Sharon, what's your wish with the bill?
Would it be possible to move it on without recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I'd make that motion.
The motion is to you know, most of the time we're a pretty strong-minded group, and we're either yes, no. We're not maybe very often. But the motion is Senate File 2794 as amended, with no recommendation, to be re-referred to the Senate floor. On that motion, members, I would speak strongly against that motion. I think that we either vote up or down or put the bill back on the table.
Senator Murphy, if that's your preference, I would accept that.
We have the Ortman motion in front of us. We need to take care of that first, unless Senator Ortman wants to withdraw her motion.
Mr. Chair, the author wishes that it be that I withdraw the motion, so I'll do that.
The motion is withdrawn. Do we have a motion for up, down, or on the table?
Table.
Senator Perry, do you want to move the bill?
Yes.
Oh, all right, good. Senator Perry moves Senate File 2794 as amended to be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Senate floor. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Perry.
If I could just bring up one final comment from my side. I look at this and I look at, in my career as a salesman, one thing that we found out as a salesperson, if you have 100 accounts you're trying to call on, you don't do any of them justice. So you wean yourself down to, say, 50 accounts, and you can do a little bit better justice. But when you get down to 15 to 20 accounts, you can really service and do well for those accounts. Mm-hmm. And I must say, in my opinion, MnDOT has so many programs going, they cannot do justice to any of them. And to publicly not hear their reasons why another 20-year delay, to publicly not hear their reasons or if, in fact, our citizens throughout those Senate districts have any role to play in this bothers me. And I just wish we could get to the point where when we could start a project that we complete a project before we move forward and start all these others, because we don't do justice to anyone. And I would only say that because I like it when everybody says they sympathize. But until you're the officer like I have been and pick up the bodies on the road, when you know things could change, when you're there, when you're the officer that has to walk into the home and tell the husband, the wife, that they've lost a child, that they lost a good friend, you know, I take a little bit different look at this. And every project that MnDOT has is a good project. But let's not continually start projects and they go on and we don't complete them. And I would hope and I would ask this committee to vote for the positive on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Perry. Senator Dole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know,
we all have these projects. We know that they're all good projects, and I'm sure that this project is probably the top priority for the state in terms of safety issues. We should do that. However, we know the tradition here, and we know coming back to the well every year that's going dry is not going to do it. What we've had to do in my district is start to figure out ways to cobble together money for a project that we know is not going to happen for 20 years if we don't. We know that we've started the CTIB because we didn't have enough money to, you know, do transit. Maybe we need to start thinking about a new way of this with this innovative financing models that we're talking about. Maybe it's a joint powers agreement along that stretch of highway with the counties to develop ways that they can locally start to generate the money to do these projects and get them moving forward. But just coming back here and saying we got to push ours to the front of the pile or the list isn't going to work anymore because we are overloaded. We've been for years, and we're not going to have enough time to catch up unless we come up with some new ideas. So I'm hoping that we're able to, like say, try something like a joint powers or something where on the local level we can start to generate this money instead.
Yeah. Senator Perry, I can look around the room and to your comment. Everybody around this table has had projects started and finished. Everybody around here has seen projects that are either started and they're not quite yet finished. You know, Gimsey's got one out there. What's that, CalPath? Highway 14, is that it?
Highway 12.
Highway 12.
55.
We've got 212.
55, Mr. Chair.
55. I mean, we can go right around. Everybody has these. You know, Senator Jungbauer's been talking about the death trap up in his district for the longest time. It's just when you have $3 billion of work that you could be doing and you only have $1.5 billion, you have to make choices, and sometimes those choices are difficult. Now, I think that this committee is starting to get a little bit solid around the idea that we need to have better partners, both at the federal level, the county level, city level, township level. We need to work as one. And, you know, I would like to see, one, Senator Olsen craft a letter that the
got an assignment.
Well, you told me I couldn't do it. And try to lay some serious pressure. Now, I know that Senator Klobuchar has made this her number one road project to ask for money through Congress. I know that currently Congressman Walz is taking input on the list of projects in his congressional district. And I would encourage you to go to his website and make your appropriate comments. I really think that that's a much better way to go. We do have a motion in front of us.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perry.
I'd like to withdraw my motion and have it laid on the table.
Thank you, Senator Perry. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator Sharon. This is not the end of this. And for all you folks that have been working long and hard on this, not the end. We're going to get it done. Doesn't look like it's going to be under my guidance, but it's going to get done, all right?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langseth.
I would like to mention that this coalition around this highway has always been there for increased funding. I get very disturbed at people who are against increased funding and then want theirs. But they have, from way back when I was chair here, they were always right there advocating for more funding.
Thank you, Senator Langseth, and thanks, folks. And that's why it's been kind of hard for me, too, is because the partnership has always been there to support us. They've been there to support other endeavors through transportation. We really appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Jungbauer, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I can't hardly not comment about Senator Langseth's comment and more funding. I'm all in favor of more funding. However, I believe that government has a core function or a set of core functions being transportation, infrastructure, public safety, public education. When you look at our state spending out of the general fund is 0.6. Members, that's 0.6% of our general fund goes to transportation when that's a core function of government. Mm-hmm. That is wrong. We need to change that We have other dedicated sources of funding for transportation, but also our general fund ought to be significantly changed to put more money to transportation.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, Senate File 2664. You have Mr. Ball from the American Legion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's always good to have this kind of backup when you come here, and I think we can get this done real quickly. I know you're in a time frame, and I appreciate the opportunity today, as well as thank you for allowing me to not go the other night and put it off for today. I'd first like to start with the A1 amendment, if I could, to get it in order. And basically,
on the A1 amendment, all in favor say aye. 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 Opposed. Aye. Motion prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What the A1 amendment is basically adding to the bill, to the Bronze Star bill, the Silver Star. Some vets had contacted me and found out that we were moving through the process with the Bronze Star. And they said this process had been tried a couple of years ago by then, I think, Senator Tomassoni. I checked with Senator Tomassoni, and with his after discussion with him, he thought it would be a good idea, so we decided to bring that here as well. Today with me I have Roger Ball, who I was going to identify him as a four-star general, but he said, no, that's not true. He doesn't have that big a rank, but he's certainly good enough to come down here and give us his point of view, and it's always great to have these veterans here to help us with these vet bills. So maybe I'll defer the testimony to him, and if there's any other questions with regards to the Bronze Star or the Silver Star, I certainly can give you some talking points as well.
Mr. Ball.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Roger Ball. I am the legislative chairman for the American Legion Department of Minnesota. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. The American Legion is Minnesota's largest wartime veteran service organization, with over 97,000 members and an additional 45,000 auxiliary and SAL members. We strongly support Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill, Senate File 2664, that provides for a special recognition license plate available to those that have received the Bronze or the Silver Star for their actions in military service to this great nation. Thank you to the Senator Ingebrigtsen for his piece of legislation, and Mr. Chairman, to you and the entire committee for your devotion and dedication to Minnesota veterans.
Thank you, Mr. Ball, and thank you for a lifetime of service to our country and to our veterans. Good thing we got folks like you around.
Thank you, Senator Murphy.
Senator Ingebrigtsen and committee, this is all part of 168.123. You can go in there and you can look. We've got Korean War veterans, World War II veterans, Medal of Honor, Purple Heart. I like this bill. Senator Jungbauer moves Senate File 2664 as amended to be recommended to pass and sent to finance. There is a small cost. We're going to put them all together and move them all together. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
And members, any bills that weren't heard, if you'd put them back in your bill jacket here so that we can kind of clean up in a hurry. Anything that you don't want to keep, put up towards the top, and everything that you want to keep, put in the file. Thank you.
Yes. Straighten up after.
Are we coming back here? Try it again tonight?
No, we're not in this room tonight.
This thing about this wireless communication device bill, that's really just a... Are they going to hear that?